debris under it, the size it is now, because I walk my children's dogs there, okay? And now it is enormous. And they stood there and they think they're going to fool people into believing. I believe the bridge needs to be fixed, one way or the other, whether it be replaced or fixed, rehabilitated, however you want to do it. I like the fixed span. I don't like the fixed span because I think it's enormous. I would like to see another drawbridge. Okay. But that's my opinion. I live right there. Mm-hmm. It's not going to affect me in the sense of my view. It's going to enhance my view. But I guess my point here is to have the state now come with a PowerPoint to talk about safety. I don't think that anyone in this room is under the false assumption that that bridge doesn't need something. Mm-hmm. It's 75 years old. As I said in my email, I'm not deaf, dumb, and blind. So what is this going to prove to us? It's not going to answer any of my questions, which my question is, why do we need a fixed span? They don't say it's for safety because a new drawbridge would do exactly the same thing, replace an unsafe bridge. They're talking about the traffic flow and the backup.
If I could just say, the DOT is run by the state, and from what I've been told, and I know that we're trying to get facts on it, drawbridges are obsolete in the state, and they're not building drawbridges anymore, so it's...
That's not true.
Those are two county bridges. Those are owned by the county. So we have we are out
that's
because
brought,
it's a
brought,
state
brought
highway.
That,
so it's a big fight because
that
it's
an
a state
bridge
highway.
Is not
the other two bridges are county owned. They can do what they want. It's county money. We have to go with what the state has. And I know that they have said drawbridges are obsolete. And that's why we have in front of us a turnpike bridge, because Turnpike is state and federal funded, and that's exactly what we're faced with. So we have a fight, you know, we have the historic value of the bridge, and that's almost all that we have, and it says that in the letter from the consultant, you know. So we have to go ahead with that, but that is why it's fixed span, because it's state property, and we just have to feel confident that we're going to continue to look into it. And but we have a tough fight to not have a drawbridge because it's state property. And if anybody has any comments against that, raise your hand now, because that's the issue that we have to fight, is it's a state road. They're not building drawbridges anymore. Spencer.
I have a suggestion and two questions, and then I have actually something fairly formal that I have to read. It won't take long.
I hope not.
I've got time.
You have to identify yourself.
I'm
first.
Sorry, Spencer Adler. The suggestion is fairly simple, which is to recognize, to step back from the position, the tough spot that you're in, which is you have the Commissioner of Transportation calling you and saying, hey, I want to come to you with technical information and my engineers to prove something or other.
That'd be a step in the right direction if I had that.
Apparently he called the reporters from the Asbury Park Press on Friday morning or Thursday night to
stir this up.
This front page story saying, hey, he has a PowerPoint showing basically what we all know. The bridge needs something. We all understand that. My suggestion is simple. Rather than take it upon your own shoulders to suddenly become qualified as engineers who can size up situation the bridge is in and whether it can be repaired or whether it really does have to be torn down or not, that you simply defer to the only other public officials who so far have evaluated everything the DOT has put together and given it a thumbs up or thumbs down on whether their technical evaluation is legitimate or not. That's the Historic Sites Council of the Department of Environmental Protection. They are equipped to do this stuff. They know bridges, they know historic preservation, they know what can be repaired, what can't be. And they sized this up, it took them months, and they know what they're doing. And they came back and said, you're wrong, this thing can be repaired. If the people want it to be repaired, if they step up to the plate, if they really demand it, it can absolutely be repaired. So my suggestion is simply that you take the burden off your shoulders, or at least consider it. And
we could request that they be present, I would have to think.
No, what I'm saying is one step further. We're deferring to whatever the Historic Sites Council decides. If you can go back and convince them that you've found some new information proving that this cannot be repaired, then go ahead and do it. It's just a suggestion to,
okay.
Then we can talk more about the details if you want to explore it. My two questions, though, there's a history of describing this bridge as really an issue about a bridge widening. I've long said that this project is really about replacing the bridge so that it can be replaced with a high-speed wide bridge. The reason to do that is because the DOT ultimately wants to widen Ocean Avenue into a four-lane highway. There's a lot of skepticism about whether that's possible, whether that's likely. Last night, that changed because at the end of the Seabright Council meeting, the Department of Smart Growth, Division of Smart Growth, came in, and presented their slideshow of their vision for the future of Seabright. And the entire focus of that vision is widening Ocean Avenue into at least four lanes plus parking on the sides. So my question is whether you have yet decided whether or not you support a four-lane highway through Ocean Avenue or not. I'm assuming that you haven't yet decided whether that's good or bad for Highlands, but if my assumption is right, then I'd like to suggest that maybe the next time you're in a privately closed-door session that you think about my second question involves the, well, first is that, am I right that you have not yet determined whether you support a highway through Seabright?
I haven't heard of a four-lane highway through Seabright as anything more than, you know, somebody just saying that. You know, to me, it doesn't sound feasible or reasonable.
Right.
You know,
and the only time I've heard it mentioned was at the steering committee meeting.
You think
basically
there was a yell about taking property in Long Branch.
And the DOT said, oh, that's not going to happen.
Right.
Right.
I've heard similar positions and arguments. Perhaps you might want to track down the engineering firm that did the presentation last night.
Yeah.
It involved a very elaborate slideshow. All kinds of work had gone into the planning with talking about how they need to take over parking lots, how to widen sidewalks, how some buildings will need to be businesses relocated to other buildings and whatnot, and another building constructed. The focus was on pedestrian walkways and bicycle lanes, etc. It's very elaborate. You may want to
request
that the same presentation
will
be done for you in a closed-door session or even public.
We have connections there.
Sure.
Smart mm-hmm.
My second question is also, my second question involves information coming from DOT. You've stated that you want to get the facts. Chris Calori has stated things publicly. I'll just give you one example for the purposes of time. But he wrote to the Asbury Park Press and put an op-ed into the paper. And in that op-ed, he said that $50 million worth of repairs will only buy 10 more years of.
That was in an op-ed with the picture of the bridge on it.
Yes,
exactly. And certainly unusual for the Transportation Commissioner to write his own op-ed for the Asbury Park Press, but that's what he did. The thing is that this core fact that he's relying on, or core argument, is directly contradicted by his own experts and his staff when they put together their 2003 feasibility assessment report, as well as in two separate occasions of them testifying on the record last year in front of the Historic Sites Council, they said, well, $45 million will buy 50-plus years for this bridge.
We've seen that.
Making repairs much more likely, so we're much more viable. My question is really simple. If you're willing to get into a meeting where Chris Calori and his people are trying to convince you that this bridge cannot possibly be repaired, what do you intend to do if his statements, like the statements that he made in his op-ed piece, are directly contradicted by the expert testimony of his own staff or his own reports? Have you thought about that, and have you decided how you're going to handle that? Will you bring in an independent engineer and hire
That's an honest answer. I really don't know.
And I honestly, you know,
I'd have to say council.
We wouldn't go to one of those meetings not prepared. I mean, I have that review that states the, you know, redoing the bridge for a certain amount of money would give it 50 years, and then the op-ed. So I have all that, but I think going into a meeting, we'd be more than prepared, along with Scott Arnett or whoever attends.
And I think I'm here to assure you that given the muscle and influence and engineering capacity on the other side, it will be very, very difficult for you good people to not have your head spinning with all the different arguments. So it's just, I bring that up only as something to consider. In the interest of time, I just want to make a statement that's important, and I'm sure, I know the borough attorney will appreciate the importance of what I'm going to read. And it's really also in the interest of the mayor and council, because it involves attorneys, and I know there's questions of who's representing who. And by the way, I absolutely support the division of labor that Dominic and Scott have decided to go with. I sent out an email stating all this very specifically, because it's important, as an attorney, it's important that I get this message out very clearly to folks. If you haven't received an email and you feel like you'd like to, just give me your business card or an email written down somewhere. And I'm just going to briefly hit the highlights of it. That I'm saying that though I am an attorney, I am not representing anyone in this room. I am not representing the affected property owners. I've said this before, but it's important for me to reiterate it on the record. The borough has hired a specialist attorney named Janine Bauer, which is a step I really support. However, it's also important to be clear that she is representing the interests of the mayors and the councils on the borough, but she has not been hired to represent the actual property owners per se. On some aspects of this matter, such as the question of whether, if here, like in Manteloken, the properties with views lose 20% of their value, there may be a future property assessment challenge that the residents have to go through.
Could I just say something?
Yeah.
Ms. Bauer is representing the people of this borough.
Okay.
It's the borough of Seabright, not the mayor and council. She is what we found to be the best product to fit this need, and that's where she's at.
Okay. Nevertheless, it's just important for me for...
Right, I'm not debating that, I just want to clarify that.
Rules of what I'm supposed to, what I have to say as part of being a lawyer. It's important for me to make clear that I am not representing the interests of anyone in the room. I'm not representing the property owners. There may be rights that property owners are forever losing by not standing together and getting an attorney who's a specialist in this type of work in there at the table with so much of your assets potentially at stake. You arguably don't even have a horse in the race if you're a property owner who may be affected by this. You may be in a position to retain those rights if you move quickly. If anyone wants to hire an attorney to represent your rights, just be in touch with me. I'll do my best to help facilitate getting you in touch with other residents who want to do the same thing. That's all. Thank you very much.
Okay. Anyone else on that slide on this? Mr. Eaton?
Not on this issue.
Does anybody else have anything on this issue? Yes, Maureen.
My only concern is that you read these things in the paper, and some of the things that Chris Bloor is saying, why not just shut the bridge down? I just feel that even though we hired this attorney, that I think that we're dealing with, and I'm just going to be perfectly blunt, everybody knows that the state is full of garbage, that they just say what they want to say. And some of the things that I've been noticing, even though that they're like subtle things, but they all start to add up. Like you talked about Seabright widening the lanes, you know, four lanes, and the things they have going on. And I've been noticing they've taken the trees down on Highway 36 so that when you leave Middletown and you come into Atlantic Highlands, Memorial Parkway, up into the Highlands, all the bushes are torn out. And then I'm thinking to myself, are they going to put a retaining wall up Highway 36 to continue with from Middletown to the bridge? And so I think that a lot of the things Glory up and saying, you know, you pulled the newspaper, because I think that is disrespect. And I give you a lot of credit, Mr. Mayor, because I know you're trying to do your best, but
The third guy offered to come down and answer anybody's questions.
But the point is, he's still the third guy.
Yeah. Right.
Which means he really basically.
Well, I'm sure he'd come, you know, he's not going to be by himself. Well,
that's not necessarily so, Maureen. You know, the higher up you do, the less you have to do, I guess. You know, he has three guys. You know what I'm saying? He's the head of the DOT. He's not going to every complaint that everybody has. He sends people out.
No, it's not. But like, it's unprecedented. Like you said, he writes an op-ed piece. He can take the time to write an op-ed piece, but he can't call the mayor of Highlands. I called myself. We were supposed to have a meeting. Remember you called, like, back in the fall? They said, oh, maybe in the early December there'll be a meeting. And I called Nina, and she said, okay, well, they put it off and everything. And it's just like they ignore us. And I think that, like, if we're going to go into a meeting, I mean, I think it's ironic that all of a sudden they show up, now we're doing a re-inspection after we get an attorney to get the facts. Quite frankly, what I think they're doing is they're getting the facts because they didn't have the facts because they made it all up.
I think their house is in disorder, yes.
Well, that's sort of what we wanted to happen, though.
But I'm thinking maybe when they come with their information, maybe we ought to have a structural engineer in the borough. Maybe a structural engineer ought to be there, and maybe that would catch them off guard. Here's our engineer, is what they're saying.
Well, that's what I said earlier.
So you know,
have to wait for that to get to us, and also this was just happened 2 days ago. I spoke with Sebring today.
Right.
We'll see what happens tomorrow and the next day.
Uh-huh.
They're only doing an inspection, and then we will have to decide what we're going to do with that inspection.
I think the first game plan was for what is hopefully going to happen. The 25th has come and passed, and now we're going to get a chance to sit and speak with people. You know, hopefully it'll be more than just the mayors and council. Hopefully they would open it up to other people. Hopefully we can get the Historic Society to go and come. And I'm sure before it's all said and done, somebody from our engineering department is going to give us some kind of an idea, you know, what's going on here. You know? Yes, ma'am, one last time.
Last thing. I'm just afraid that, you know, you open the paper and you hear that they're meeting with the town council. You haven't even been approached on that. That they're going to put it out to bid and we're just going to be standing there waiting for them to do this.
They're not going to put it out to bid because they don't have permits. And before they get a permit, we will have an additional steering committee meeting, if not two.
And we still hold property that they need that we haven't allowed them to use. We've withdrawn our application on that, you know.
We need to ask.
We need to ask somebody. Yeah, we have to make that before it's over. Yes,
I just
want
to give you a little ammunition for the next meeting that you have. I was at the last meeting of the DOT, and actually, we were called, somebody made a mistake and said it was a meeting about the bridge.
That was the one in Seabright. No?
No. That was the big one with the pictures and all. No, this was just a small group. Quite a few of these same people were there, and the lady sat here from the DOT, and everything that was being shown was over there, and I just asked the question, saying, I cannot visualize the distance we have now to approach that bridge, and if it's going to be 5 foot high, won't we need a bigger approach, wider, bigger, longer, however? And the first gentleman that was talking about the garden down there, what they were going to do under the bridge, said, no, there's plenty of room there for a 65-foot high bridge to approach. The lady from the DOT said, oh no, there isn't, we will probably have to take some property up on 36. Mm-hmm. Now, this, I'm just giving you the ammunition to ask, because it was she that said.
As long as I've gone to the meetings, it was always stated clearly that no property would be taken.
Right, and yet she, as represented, if anybody gets back me and said they heard it as well. I know I heard it. So keep that in mind, that's all.
Okay. Chris?
Chris Francie, 36 Fifth Street. The Coast Guard had a date, January 25th, requesting comments. Has anybody heard back what the Coast Guard got? Mrs. Cowan?
Wait a second.
I'm sorry.
Do you have that letter with you? I have the letter with me because everyone who wrote a letter got that letter back, except Sebring. For some reason, they didn't get the letter. But Highlands had a great response. We sent, in such a short amount of time, I forwarded over 30 letters to the Coast Guard, and basically they did go ahead with their permit. So.
Oh, so that was the question. Coast Guard went ahead.
Yeah, but they did write a letter, you know, requesting that the DOT really look into it to make sure that it is an obvious shed for the historical side of the bridge. But for what their reasoning is, they went ahead with the permit.
Can
I make a quick correction? I'm sorry. You just said that it hadn't gone out for bid and they're not going to go out for bid yet. I wouldn't rely on that. I have contrary information that at the end of last week something was published in one of the registers. I haven't reviewed the document myself, but my understanding is that that process may have started. So I'm just saying you may want to.
Yeah, let me know after you review your document, but they can't go through without the DEP permit.
That's different from putting it out to bid is different from accepting a bid and signing a contract. So I believe it's
very good. Mr. Eaton, you got to go.
Thank you, Mayor. Council, Mayor, my name is Liam Eaton. As most of you know, I'm the attorney for Paradise Park Homeowners Association. We're here because we found out yesterday that the ordinance was being introduced tonight. Those of you who are here in opposition to the ordinance on Paradise Park, would you just please stand for a second? I don't know what the count is, but I'd say there's probably 40 people who were able to get in 24 hours. Mr. Mayor, normally you would see Lori Dibble here. As you know, she's the president of the association. We're a small town, so I suspect most of you would know that Lori hasn't been around a lot lately because her mother's been very ill and her mother died on Sunday.
Sorry to hear that.
She wasn't able to come here tonight. She did send a letter. I think all members of the council have it. It's unfortunate that this was introduced tonight. Just to remind you, the import of this ordinance, which is of desperate importance to my clients, is that the State Mobile Home Act says no agency of municipal, county, or state government, or any agency or instrumentality thereof, shall approve or take any other final action upon any application for a variance which would result in the removal of homes or relocation of homeowners residing in a private residential leasehold community, that's a mobile home park, without first determining that adequate private residential facilities and circumstances exist for the relocation of those homeowners. Now, you're all familiar with Mr. Ballerman's letter of March 23rd, 2005, which for some reason disappeared from the borough's records, but we've returned to you, where he says, it is an absolute necessity that the residential use permitted within the MXD zone be considered a principal permitted use so as to comply with state statutes governing closure of mobile home parks. Essentially what your ordinance does, as you all know, it deprives these residents of Paradise Park of any relocation rights that they would have under the statute. This is the only objection we have to the ordinance, but it is a huge objection. It is a huge gift to this developer, and it robs my clients of their relocation rights protected otherwise under the statute. Because when you make this a principal permitted use, when you allow him to build townhouses there, it means he doesn't need to go for a variance. It means we don't get the protection that is protected by the state law, that is intended for the folks who live in this affordable housing. The last time this ordinance came up was in early November, you may recall, Mr. Mayor, and at that time you said that the ordinance would be introduced on January 17th. And we're not crazy about this ordinance, but January 17th, we took your word for it. That made sense to us, because then we knew it would go to the planning board on the 8th of February, and we knew it would be heard again on second reading on the 21st. And that would allow us, as you've always encouraged us, to participate in the community, to get people together, to make this something that everyone could have a part of. By introducing this ordinance tonight, having the revised agenda for the planning board, so it goes on tomorrow to the planning board, and then comes up on the 21st of February. That's the shortest period of time humanly possible to have this ordinance introduced, reviewed, and adopted. That's really not fair. We really think that tonight you ought to introduce a resolution to put it off until the 21st of March, to bring it up instead of bringing this in at a workshop meeting and then jamming it through at a regular meeting. We would sincerely, respectfully request that you adjourn the February 21st hearing until March 21st. That will allow our residents, our people, and the people of the Borough of Highlands to really understand what the ordinance is about, what the damage is that's done to us, what the economic benefit is to the developer as opposed to the borough, and allow us to go forward like normal people in a political process and handle this correctly. And that's really all we ask. We're not coming here to say, vote it down. We hope you'll vote it down. We hope you'll think very seriously about what the implications are for the folks who live in this community, who work in this community, who spend their money in this community, and who are a part of this community, because that's what our residents are. But we also hope you'll give us a better chance, that you'll introduce an appropriate resolution before you adjourn tonight to put this off until the 21st of March so that we have an opportunity. We don't have millions of dollars. We're not a rich developer. We can't go back over to Red Bank and bring in a whole bunch of bucks. But we've got bodies. We've got people who care. And we show up at the meetings. We listen to what you say. We're here all the time. We monitor what's going on. But we need a fair shot at this. So we're asking you, please, put it off until the 21st of March. Thank you.
Because there's changes in my area of town, and because that's not drawn out and it's a single ordinance, I have a conflict.
So you have a conflict, and there's somebody else on the board that has a conflict?
No.
Mayor, I make that motion for the 21st.
Is that a second?
Motion fails for lack of
second. Yes, it does. Okay. Anybody else? Billy made a motion to extend it.
We can't hear what's going on.
Billy made a motion to extend it to the 21st, as Mr. Eaton requested, and it died for a lack of second.
Could I just ask a question here? Mm-hmm. Did it die for lack of a second because Mr. Urbanski is not allowed to second a motion?
Yeah. Can I second?
Is that what happened? Is there a legal opinion that says he can't second a motion to put this on the floor to change the date of the hearing? Is that the legal thing?
The opinion that I gave him, and not anticipating this to be something that would come up, was that because his property was affected in the ordinance and that was a direct, that could be a direct conflict, that he should not participate in the proceedings and frankly should step down from the dais for all discussions, this would be part of that. So I believe he's acting correctly and not responding.
Is your opinion that he can't second the motion to reset the date?
At what point do you want me to define the process? Okay, he's not under the law. If there is a direct conflict, he's not allowed to participate. So I'm supposed to say what part of the participation is okay?
What I think is the problem here is I don't think any of us understand why Mr. Urbanski, who is affected the same way as any other property owner in town, is not allowed to participate in this. But if that's your opinion,
he's not affected the same as any other property.
He owns property that is in a zone that is going to be rezoned in this ordinance.
Then why don't you divide the question so that his participation on an 84-page ordinance is not polluted by that one particular part? The same as we've asked you to divide the question to pull out the MXD ordinance so that that doesn't get in the way, why can't you divide the question to take his conflict out of the case?
That is a question that you can place to the table if they wish to.
Well, if he can't participate in the division of the question, the motion won't even get on the floor. How does that make sense? You've devised an ordinance of 84 pages that covers signs, that covers
the master
a whole variety
plan.
Of things.
Right.
Why is it that you can't divide the question so that his conflict, such as it
is divided out so that he can only decline participation in the part where there's a conflict, rather than take an 84-page ordinance and pull him out of it. He has no conflict to the MXD zone. That's the issue that we're bringing here. How is it that the MXD zone, which is the only thing that affects the people in this room, he can't vote on an adjournment of that ordinance till the 21st of March? He can't even second a motion? That makes no sense at all.
Makes all sense. It's one unit, and that's how it's going to be. That's how it's going to be moved. So. Yes, sir.
My name is Steve Cassidy. I live at 7 K Street. You can't separate out the issue in order to allow Mr. Urbanski to participate in this critical issue.
No.
Can't?
No.
Is that just a question of personal preference? Or
no, that's. That's
legal,
just how.
A legal opinion to that
that's
thing?
How. That's what you have here is a legal opinion.
Not about whether or not he can participate, but about whether or not the question. Can
well,
be
actually, I don't.
See, I think the people here. All
actually, this
that
shouldn't even be going this,
you,
Mr. Cassidy. Vote. This shouldn't even be going this far because this is just an introduction.
I understand that.
Okay.
Each and every one of you is a critical representative on this issue. Mr. Urbanski, who received an extraordinary number of votes in the last election, if I'm not mistaken, in part because of his position. On this issue, I believe that the people in this room are counting on him to be part of this process.
He has a conflict.
It seems to me that the council should recognize his need to participate and find a way to somehow relieve him of his conflict so that he can participate.
The burden's not on me to relieve him of his conflict. Why would you think that? Why would you think that? Why would you say to give and I'm not knocking her, he's a friend of mine. I'm not knocking him in, but if he has a conflict, why should he have the right to vote on somebody else's and then...
It seems to me that the conflict is the making of the council. The council could relieve him of the conflict if it would see itself clear.
I don't know that. I don't know that.
I turn to our legal representation for today.
And he just told you that he wasn't prepared for that. Because he didn't expect it. This is something
all
that,
the more reason
wait a minute, Mr.
For
Cassidy.
Anybody, for somebody else to second, to give it more time to be developed or explained.
This request didn't have to even go that far. Okay? Mr. Eaton's request didn't have to go that far. This was already voted on. That this was being introduced.
Can I just make a comment?
Sure you can.
This is one ordinance amending Chapter 21 of the Borough Ordinance. The town has already spent over $25,000 to get this together. It's really, there's only maybe, there's 32 issues at stake, but there's maybe a few that, you know, the people in attendance are questioning. But the fact is, this is really a basic thing to put, to implement the master plan. We've already spent $25,000 on it. They've said if we separate the ordinances, we could spend another $25,000 on it. So,
who said that? I'm sorry, Mr. Mayor, can I recognize?
Sure.
I got a question.
Wait a minute, Don. Wait, you don't have the floor yet.
Can I just ask, is there a legal opinion that is illegal or improper to divide the question so that this can be heard on separate issues? Is that the legal opinion?
I don't know.
No, you could divide it because we asked to do it the last time and the table said no. Remember when we said
you
well,
wanted to take the MXD out
and vote on it, and that was the flavor to not.
My question is: there's nothing illegal about dividing the question, is there?
Absolutely.
It's just the determination of the council is that they will not allow the question to be divided. Right. It's not a legal issue.
If that's how you want to put it, then put it that way.
No, I'm not.
Because
I'm asking the question, Mr. Mayor.
Then yes, I have to say that because when it came MXD before, and you wanted to separate that out, we stated no.
So
and we're not going to do that now either.
That's a decision, not a legal decision. Is that correct?
That's the right decision, in our opinion. That's all.
I got it. I'm just clarification is it is not a legal decision and not a legal opinion. It is a political decision.
No, it's the majority's decision.
Right, but it's not the decision of the lawyer. It's the decision of the council.
Well, I didn't ask the lawyer for his decision.
Well,
he
could,
it's not up to him.
The lawyer whether
no,
it's legal
not up to him to
decide
that. Okay. Donald?
Dominic, when I asked the planning board attorney if I had to step down when we were discussing the mobile home park on the hill, because I live on Bayside Drive within 200 feet, and he told told me, you don't step down on the master plan because it's not a single issue, it's the whole town we're doing. And he said, you don't have to step down unless they come before the planning board on a specific issue, not on the master plan. The master plan is decided for the whole town, not just one issue.
Wait a minute, Don. John was requested to step down at the last planning board when the issue came up. Because of a conflict, which is the same conflict that carried on.
No conflict whatsoever because we're doing a rest of the planning board. That plan is for the whole town. And he's a councilman representing me, and I want him to vote on the master plan.
Don, when we sat at the planning board the last time, John had to step down because he had a conflict. Right or wrong?
It's not that I want to debate the issue with you, Mr. Manrod, but being within 200 feet of the property is not the same. First of all, this is legislation versus deliberating on the planning board. I'm not going to step on the toes of the planning board attorney who gave you advice that he believed to be proper for the situation you were in. I'm giving advice to a council person for the situation that he's in and that the council is in, because if this ordinance should pass and he participated in the deliberation, whether or not he votes for it or against it, that would be a grounds to set this aside at the Superior Court level. Well, and I did look for cases, and the deciding issue, in my opinion, was that his property is affected directly by a rezone that's in this ordinance.
Well,
okay, and there's
no
way.
You know that, Don. You sat at the planning board
okay,
where he rezoned it.
He's not within 200
take
feet.
Take John's part out of this.
He's
it
not
out.
Within 200 feet. He's
wait,
within
wait.
It.
That's no.
That
the
was
plan.
My
take
issue.
Take it out of the master plan. He represents me, and he should be able to vote on the rest of the master plan. Not his section. Take his section out
okay.
Like you do with everything else.
That's
let him vote on everything else.
That's your opinion, thank
and
you.
And that's my opinion, and that's good, because I think there's other people sitting up there, and I think I'm going to take a little trip to the prosecutor.
You
can
do that, Don.
Yeah,
right.
Yeah.
I'm going to adjourn.
Second.
Okay.
All in favor? Any opposed?
We have questions. We have questions.
Ask Mr. Policy man was going together with the doctor.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. Let me just turn this off, okay?